Sports Radio. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Open line, man in line today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. You could follow on yesterday. We were talking about the green energy, the net zero stuff, renewables that we're getting on the Isle of Man. Mike dropped a note in just to say, did I mention this yesterday? It's worth mentioning again. Regarding green energy, if the UK now produces just over 50% of their energy from renewable sources, why don't we just get another undersea cable and we can latch onto theirs? Rather than, you know, doing what we do over here. Yeah, but we need to be independent of some sort, don't we? What else do you think about? Of course, the big talking point yesterday was the departure of Teresa Cope, the chief exec of Manx Care. So what's going to happen? The chief exec announces her departure next day. All surgeries cancelled. Next, people who may not be 100% based on personal experience will be discharged to clear the hospital for TT casualties. Things must be bad. We don't quite know, do we? I mean, opinion is divided. Obviously, Teresa Cope has been there for 5 years. And remember, it was new when she took over. Nobody'd done it before. So she's kind of set the standard for what's going to happen. Of course, who's going to get it next? And you heard Rob Callister saying that it should be like Manx Utilities and have a political chair, because a lot of the board aren't from the Isle of Man even. Tynwald is a court, so why doesn't it give a direction notice that the business plan must be submitted by a certain date and name the officer responsible to do it, says Andy. Then it can hold them in personal contempt if they fail to comply. Sorted the accountability. This is the... Well, it wasn't really a surprise, was it? Tynwald isn't going to be discussing the business case for relaying the horse tram tracks along the full length of Douglas Prom at this month's sitting. We have the halfway horse tram from Derby Castle to Castle Mona Avenue, basically. And the rest to go from there through to the sea terminal has been, well, it's been going on forever, hasn't it? Infrastructure has missed the deadline to bring it to Tynwald Court next week. It would also miss the opportunity to discuss it at a Treasury Board meeting later today. We'll find out. It didn't submit the relevant documentation for the Treasury Board meeting today. Treasury Minister Chris Thomas, Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall face questions in Keys about the delay.
When does the Treasury Minister anticipate that he'll have all that extra information to enable him to make a decision, noting that the lifetime of this administration is rapidly ticking away? I anticipate that, as he is an excellent manager of his staff, that he will have given them a clear set of boundaries within which to work.
I mean, there's so much misunderstanding of this then, because ministers don't manage engineers in the Department of Infrastructure any more than they manage the Project Development Fund process officers in Treasury any more than they manage the Project Management Unit officers in the DOI. But to answer the question, the date I provided incredibly clearly in my answer is the last possible date for the Treasury timetable to be met for the delivery of the business case to June Tynwald. So the Department of Infrastructure had it made clear to them that the 13th of May was when the Treasury Departmental Board needed to consider the final business case, meeting all the criteria to meet the regular process for the June sitting of Tynwald.
At the end of March 2026, the Department submitted a business case to Treasury and the Council of Ministers for consideration. The Department received some constructive feedback and it is amending the business case which will then be resubmitted to Treasury and the Council of Ministers for approval to proceed to Tynwald with a financial motion. The financial motion will hopefully be submitted for June Tynwald 2026.
I'd like to ask the Minister, does he know what the deadline is for the Register of Business to ensure that it is on the June Tynwald order paper?
We will be getting that the business case to them this week, and it can be done out with the actual SACIC meeting by emails, as it has been done in the past, and hopefully we will have it on the Tynwald paper, or we will go. We'll speak to Mr. President and get it on as a late order.
Why is such a taking so long?
If there was anything simple about what the Treasury Minister just said, please tell me what that was. He's been trying to help, and what we're asked to do by Treasury and Council Ministers, we have responded to get those answers back so we can resubmit the business case and bring it forward at the second attempt so we've got it in June Tynwald. We are doing our best, Mr. Morass.
Treasury Minister Chris Thomas, Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall speaking to MHKs in Keys about the delay in bringing a business case for the horse tram tracks. It's now due to be discussed at the June sitting of Tynwald, if it makes the Register of Business in time. The business case missed the deadline for the Register of Business and the order paper for May. The capital funding request for the horse tram track extension was received by Treasury at the end of March. It was considered by the board on the 15th of April and by Comin on the 16th of April, but was sent back to the DOI for more work. It remains with the DOI. The business case was due to be discussed at a Treasury board meeting today, but as of 10 o'clock yesterday, it hadn't been put on the agenda. Apologies if it has been on the agenda, and it would be nice to know what the result is. It sounds very complicated, doesn't it? It does sound, and I'm sure there's a question of process and jots and tittles and what have you, but this is a horse tram track. It's a horse tram track, and it's a finite amount of money, and it's been agreed in principle many times. So what is it about this that, and the thing is, you know, the politicians can argue and debate amongst themselves, but the public, the general public, you see what's happening, and that is, well, nothing. So what do you think? The horse tram tracks. I got a message in the other day. We were talking about pensions and public pensions and when the pension pot is going to run out. The caller said it couldn't go on air, didn't have time to go on air, but it just said that it's not a pension pot. It's all a benefit system. So, well, anyway, the facts are regarding this, whenever we talk about when the insurance fund is going to run out and what have you, on the Isle of Man, the state pension is legally classed as a social security benefit, even though it's commonly called a pension. It's a social security benefit. Under Isle of Man's social security legislation, the state pension is paid from the National Insurance Fund and is defined in law as a benefit payable to people who've made enough national insurance contributions. So technically, it's a benefit in legal terms. But in practice, it functions as the state pension system based on your NI record, similar to systems in the UK. The money comes from the national insurance contributions rather than a private pension pot, which is why it's legally structured as a benefit rather than a personal pension. Does that make sense? Thank you. Great shame to see Theresa Cope stepping down, says Frank. She's done an incredible things for the Isle of Man and the healthcare system. I'm sad to see the amount of abuse that she's received over the last 5 years. Manx Care needs to be more independent and separate from political interference so it can actually do its job properly. She'd have had a lot more success if she'd been given that freedom. I don't know whether you've been looking, but on social media there have been some shocking comments about Theresa Cope and her resignation. And as with all social media, the people writing the shocking comments would never say that in person. Absolutely guarantee. If they were looking at Theresa Cope in the face, there is no way they'd say those things. However, some people seem to exist by insulting people that they don't know and have never met. And it doesn't really add much to the situation. Because if Theresa Cope is going, Well, that's the situation she's going. What's important to you and me and everyone else on the Isle of Man is what happens now. What happens now? The situation with Manx Care. It's fair to say things aren't ideal. So what do we do now? Never mind insulting somebody who did the job. That gets you nowhere. What do we do now with Manx Care? Do the politicians come back in, or do we continue on this road, which palpably is not working 100%? I just wonder what your thoughts are. Hey, Bonzo's on with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Just coming back to you on Manx Care. Yes, well, besides whatever one might say about Teresa Cope and her performance in the role at Manx Care, essentially it's a job that shouldn't have existed, like the rest of the Manx Care board, like the rest of Manx Care, because the system of Manx Care just introduces another layer of expense in order to seemingly ensure that less gets done. We've seen those kind of... these are precisely the errors which NHS made in UK from about 2028, well, certainly under the Coalition and Conservative administrations, with their idea of an internal market and all sorts of other fruit-leapy things. So what we need now really is an acceptance by the next administration that Manx Care hasn't worked. It might have succeeded in one little bit or another, but otherwise it is something that we have to, hands up and say, it hasn't worked right. We're going to roll back to the position as was, and then we'll see what we can do from there.
Yeah, but where does that leave... you're a taxpayer. Where does that leave you as a user of Manx Care and me and everyone else? Because, again, this is tinkering around with the mechanics of it all. You know, we're the most important part of this, Bonzo. We are the users, what they call the clients nowadays, aren't we?
Well, I wouldn't call it tinkering. I'd say that's fundamental. We have a fundamental problem that has to be solved, and I'm afraid that's going to involve doing things fundamentally. What is more tinkering around the edges is somehow trying to modify Manx Care to in some way make it fit for purpose, but it isn't. The problem is the system. And if the problem is the system, then you have to junk the system.
This is going to cost more money, isn't it, Bonzo?
Well, it will probably in the short term cost a bit more money, yes, because there will be people with large contracts that have to be paid off. I mean, as I was saying to somebody else, they were talking about Ramsay College Hospital. And I dare say if we added up over the past 5 years the salaries paid to the Manx Care Board and their pension pot, that would probably pay for the total refurbishment and indeed the upscaling of operations there of Ramsay Cottage Hospital.
But, I mean, is there a disconnect, do you think, between Manx Care and again, I'll come back to the clients, the users, the patients, if you like. There seems to be, by the fact that people can't get routine GP appointments or can't get an NHS dentist, have problems, the fact that the emergency department is like an overstuffed disco sometimes on a Friday night.
Well, that is one of the reasons why Manx Care was set up. In order to provide that buffer between the politicians who are responsible for it and the electorate, service users, etc., who are looking at it and saying, excuse me, why isn't X, Y, and Z happening? And that's because there is this punch bag that's been placed between it, Manx Care, and also which then has a whole supposed budgetary control system, which, as we've seen, doesn't really work. It is a question of the organisation being very much focused on process and procedure and getting into the error of the fallacy of management information. And if I have loads and loads of metrics, and I spend a lot of time looking at these metrics, and somehow I have more control over the organization. No, you don't. All you have is a pile of data, unless you're using it properly. But the first thing should be first that you look at frontline services and you look at what you're doing there and how you can do that better, i.e. provide more service of the quality that taxpayers want, and also that perhaps can be maximized value for money. But that's what you have to do. And fiddling about with the idea of, oh, right, we'll put some politician as chair of Manx Care or something, and it will operate it like Manx Utilities. Well, you know, it isn't a power station. It's a lot more complicated than that. So, that's for the birds. I think we have to look to revert to the previous system and, you know, then take it from there by essentially cutting our losses.
Okay.
Because otherwise the costs of Manx Care will escalate, and they are escalating to a point where they're completely unsustainable.
Okay. And the horse trams, Bonzo?
And the horse trams, yes. Well, as I think I said before, this is a question of Treasury, I think. Treasury officials finding, you know, a hill they want to die on. And as I said before, the hill is this, that people can't have their money twice. Because the money was allocated via the initial plans, and then there wasn't enough money. So then that money was re-scoped into something else, right? So then infrastructure comes back and says, well, actually, can we have some money for the horse trams, please? And Treasury take the attitude that, well, you've spent your money on sweeties. Don't come complaining to us to the fact that you... you know, weren't able to afford your lunch because you spent your lunch money on sweeties on the way to school. And you can hear that within the dialogue between Crookall and Thomas in Tynwald, Thomas in Keys yesterday. No, it's not my fault, it's their fault. It's their fault, no, it's not my fault. And all of that is going to, from Treasury's point of view, is going to construct an environment of what some civil servants might term constructive inertia, so that things just don't get done in this administration. I would be extraordinarily surprised to see anything happen on the horse trams until after the election.
Well, I come back to the disconnect, and again, the disconnect between what's happening over Manx Care and the DHSC and the users, the clients, the customers, the patients, and the horse trams, and the people who use the horse trams, and the industry that it represents, and that is the visitor industry, tourism. It's as though the people responsible for this don't quite see the purpose of it. And as you say, I fully understand the fact that it's Treasury's job to say no to things unless there's a compelling case, but this has been, the public knows this has been argued through before, it's been agreed, it's been recommended, everyone has nodded sagely about it, and still nothing happens, Bonzo.
Yes, but the thing is, from Treasury's point of view, will be if you do it once, everyone will do it. And no, it's just a license to write blank checks to everyone, which is why they're so determined to dig their heels in.
Oh, I see.
But on the other hand, of course, we have these variety of public services and things like heritage and such like, which we fund from the public purse. And for those things, they obviously have to be user orientated, whereas at the moment it's entirely budget or process oriented, budget and process orientated. You know, the cart is before the horse. For far too many things when it comes to Isle of Man government.
So process rather than outcome?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Bonzo, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Okay, is it true that if the turbines are built off the Isle of Man, they'll be the tallest structures in Britain at 350 metres, as the Shard in London is 308 metres? Well, they'll be bigger than the Eiffel Tower. and presumably bigger than the Shard as well. So thank you for that. Kelly, 951. Bonzo's right, says Kevin on 224. Manxcare was set up as a corporate framework and will be a vehicle for privatisation. A candidate for MHK called on my doorstep and said that Manxcare must end up being privatised. Is this what Mr Cannon has alluded to in the past? We need to accept that healthcare will be privatised on the Isle of Man. Well, remember, healthcare on the Isle of Man is it's free at the point of use. But remember, the only thing that's nationalised in this is the customer, the client, the patient. Everything else is paid for. Everything else is in the capitalist system. People get paid the going rate that their union negotiates. Manxcare pays the commercial rate for everything that it buys. It's not a socialised... The only thing that's socialised or nationalised is the customer. So it's not some sort of socialist utopia that the National Health Service that we have. Remember, everything does have to be paid for. I disagree with Bonzo, says James. The same issues and concerns that existed before Manxcare are still here today. I'd say the introduction of Manxcare was rushed, but the principle works. Unfortunately, non-health professionals interfere. And I suspect it'll now get harder before it improves. Why would any top healthcare professional be attracted to the Isle of Man when they see how the likes of Theresa Cope are verbally abused? Well, I don't want to be blunt about it, James, but a very big pay packet that I would imagine that everybody within the healthcare industry knows what... Theresa Cope's salary and package were. So it's fairly fat. So I would imagine lots of people would be interested in that. But we don't know. And remember, this is now in the hands of the politicians. So it will be interesting to know when Theresa Cope leaves, who's going to be running the show? Who, if you like, will be signing the checks? Metaphorically. Who'll be running Manxcare? And remember, Manxcare isn't just Noble's Hospital. It's many other things. Social care, adult social care. All sorts of things are touched by Manxcare. And that's been Theresa Cope's responsibility since it started. So she, if you like, has set the standard that everybody else has to follow. Or do you think, as Bonzo was alluding to, that we should just go back to the other way and throw all the Manxcare stationery away and go back to the DHSC? Ali, says Andy, these so-called managers of our country are doing nothing but bringing shame on us. This is the 150th anniversary of the horse trams, and all should have been done to have them back on track, haha, pun, for this year. Thank you, Ali 013. I just got the road closure notice through the door today with only 12 days to go. It was dated the 23rd of April, says Harry 490. This isn't good enough. Yes, we know it's going to happen, but it is now too much inconvenience compared to what it used to. TT, I take it you're referring to, Harry, that is. Is Ken with us now? Hi, Ken.
Afternoon to you from a sunny Peel. Manxcare. I was promised, or they promised to say how much, where the savings were made. And as far as I know, the only savings they made with Manxcare was employing more staff to get rid of bank nurses, which was a big saving because that was quite a cost, bank nurses. But whatever happened to consultation on for care? They had a consultation about, you know, how much you should pay if you go into a care home.
Yeah.
That seems to have died a death.
Not heard anything about that, Ken.
No. Do you remember that it was a consultation? You had to fill up, you know, you could go online and send people round to talk about it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, that Manxcare touches all sorts of things. And you know, we all know our own little bit of Manxcare. If you've got toothache, you worry about the dentist. If you've got the flu, you worry about the GPs. If you've got an elderly relative or a friend, you worry about care and what have you. So Manxcare is enormous and it costs an absolute fortune, Ken.
Yes. Now, to cause a bit of an argument, there's not many places with 80,000 people who've got two hospitals. I'm just wondering if she might have recommended the closure of Ramsey Cottage because that's not in her, it's not a political decision for her, but it could cost votes for certain MHKs. But I can never understand why we've got two hospitals. You know, they didn't build Nobles big enough, and the cost of Ramsey Cottage, the ongoing repairs and everything, it's just, I just don't understand that.
Well, the trouble is, Ken, we don't know the nuts and bolts of the everyday workings of Manx Care, do we? We don't know, no. You know, how many patients come in, how many people are seen, what's done, how many consultants there are, what the problems are, what recruitment's like, and what. We don't know, and that's their job to do that. It's just that, Ken, we elect public officials to hire professionals, and we trust in them. They all get paid the going rate, but we trust them to do the job. It's just that when the job isn't done, we're entitled to look sideways at it.
Well, yes, it's a bit like the dredging of Douglas Harbour. You know, when they did it originally, the dredger wasn't a dredger, it was a bulldozer, and it pushed the ridge back into the hole it came out of. But it never dumped anything at sea, it just pushed into the thing. But what I really want to talk about is the horse trams.
Okay.
Why has it taken 4 years for MHKs to ask questions about extending the line to the sea terminal? Is it because there's an election coming up?
Well, it's funny. I got a note in from Carol who said, she said much the same thing. And she said, they're all getting very excited about the horse trams. Is that because they're not talking about assisted dying 20 miles per hour limit or getting rid of the bishop's vote anymore?
Well, it could be. There might be one or two MHKs that have, you know, been talking about it in the last, you know, 4 years, but it seems that it's all taken off now. As a vote catcher, or whatever thought.
Well, anyway, what's your personal view of the horse tram? Should they go back from the sea terminal to the war memorial?
If you'd asked me that, was it 8 years ago, I'd have said, no, do away with them. But once they've started to do a half make job, carry on. You know, Tynwald decided to go all the way to the sea terminal, and they spent the money on, because they found problems, probably by employing professionals, they found problems on the promenade that they hadn't accounted for. So the money was diverted, even though they bought the rails, which are probably rusting away somewhere, but now they did it, they should have carried the thing on. But nobody raised the real question, why, Tynwald, we voted so there's all the way to the sea terminal. Why haven't we done it? Whose name is somebody who took the decision not to continue the horse trams?
Well, what happened was that money was taken to the promenade scheme because they were running short on the prom, so they kind of took it from one pot to another. So presumably those are the higher people within the Department of Infrastructure who made that decision.
But again, it's like the DHSS or Manx Care. They're always short and they always come back to a supplementary vote. Well, the promenade scheme could have done that. Whoever was in charge of it, and the Treasury turned it down, it was Treasury to blame, not the department. Yeah, I do wonder. I was never in favour of Manx Care, but the setup.
Are you standing for Keys in September, Ken?
No, because the main reason was my first link would be to get rid of the Legislative Council, to be honest, which would never get through. You know, we're paying nearly over £500,000 for people we don't elect.
But they're supposed to be there for scrutiny and oversight.
Well, right, I'm going to go off a bone now. Well, talk about the, I won't call it the assisted dying.
Yeah.
Keys passed that. It went for scrutiny. They did a few amendments. So they did a good job, didn't they? About sending it to the UK. Because shouldn't they have done that? You know, people keep telling me they're experienced people. They look at, scrutinise things and alter things slightly. Well, they didn't think about the human rights aspect, or perhaps they did. But, oh no.
All right. Go away and have a cup of tea and calm down, Ken. Okay.
I'm having one now. Cheers.
Bye. It's 25 to 1. Mark said, I don't often agree with Bonzo, but he's right on Manx Care. We need to scrap it and go back to the old way. And James on 365 said this all came about because of it was the previous chief, previous chief minister, Howard Quayle, who, as the head of the Department of Health, went to New Zealand to see their health system. And after that, Manx Care was born. So who is to blame? Well, yeah, it's a question, but does it get you anywhere? It's just like blaming Theresa Cope and insulting somebody. It doesn't get you anywhere. It's what happens now. As Meatloaf said once upon a time, objects in the rearview mirror may appear closer than they are. We need to look forward and we need to decide what we're going to do. With very clear vision, we need to decide what we are going to do. Otherwise, we're going to end up in the hole for even more money with whatever replaces Manx Care or the new Manx Care, Manx Care 2.0, whatever it is. Somebody somewhere needs, and if you've got the answer, by the way, please call 66 13 68. Put us all out of our misery. The proposed wind turbines are bigger than the rocket that launched to the moon, says Julie. All roads lead back to lazy MHKs, says Kingo. All the problems we have are due to a lack of infrastructure experience and no consequence for mistakes. Let's start again with MHKs who want to work for the Isle of Man. They need to scrap Manx Care and cancel all the silly talk on turbines. Imagine how much debt we could get into over those. Well, we won't get into any debt because Ørsted are paying it. There's no public money. But anyway, well, the only thing we might pay for is the Erie Stane ones, and that will be Manx Utilities. The companies involved must legally pledge to decommission them, not just take the profits and leave us with a carcass. Well, part of the agreement with Ørsted is they will pay for all the decommissioning. Look at the Liverpool landing stage, Manx Care, the new prison, the hospital build and the prom. The list goes on. Let's be frank, we don't understand technical infrastructure projects. We pay for the blunders. Enough is enough. No more projects, says Kingo, unless the prices are definite.
Remember when you used to get business advice from your bank manager? Stiff upper-lipped pillars of the community whom you called sir? Nowadays, you can get all the advice on every business issue from the friendly, down-to-earth chaps at Crow Isle of Man. And some of the chaps are even women. Imagine, Crow Isle of Man. Global presence, local knowledge.
Crow Isle of Man, 627-335.
Ramsey Garden Centre opens 7 days a week for an extensive range of exclusive products, garden gifts and ornaments, solar water features and offers throughout the garden centre. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
At Bagode Cattery, we've been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for our customers' cats and treat them as our own. Visit bagode.com or call 321 989.
Weekend or weekend, you're tuned to the Sunday Chill Out Show with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio. It's all about
love. Join me Sunday evenings from 7 for 2 hours of the most chilled out and relaxing new and classic tracks on Manx Radio's Sunday Chill Out Show.
Kick back relax and chill with Chris Pearson on the Manx Radio Chill Out Show. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
21 minutes before one. Congratulations, by the way, to Hannah McKenzie and Barbara Guy. Hannah's been reappointed chair of Port Erin Commissioners, and Barbara Guy's chosen to continue as vice chair for the next year. So well done to them. And that note also that came out yesterday after the news about Theresa Cope going is that Nobles Hospitals are currently experiencing significant operational pressures with very high demand for care and limited capacity. So all elective planned procedures from yesterday afternoon until Monday have been stood down, postponed, not happening. Cancer care and urgent treatments continue as planned. So despite current operational pressures, emergency care services are open and available. If you need any support, the MCALS team are on 642 642. Didn't expect that, did we? The Douglas Tramway fracas. Says John, the Isle of Man is a laughing stock. It can't make a decision on what it is, in effect. Petty cash on a world-famous heritage railway that's carried the late Queen, the Queen Mother, and provides an interconnector between the arrival of visitors by sea and the MER. And Peter on 014 said, even when the horse trams get the go-ahead, it'll probably not be approved by health and safety without changes to the layout because of the close proximity of the pedestrians on the pavement and the parked car. I'm assured by the people who know it in the railway industry and the fans that everything is absolutely fine, because I think, particularly when you get people who wrongly park vans, big vans there, trade vans there, which you're not supposed to do, they do overhang the back and they would be very close to where the trams go. But what do I know? Manx Care aren't very good, said Anna. The government needs to get rid of a lot of useless workers, particularly mental health, as they don't help clients. There are too many of them sitting behind desks handing out useless advice when a person already knows what to do. They get paid a lot of money for speaking to clients like idiots, says Anna on fire. Just send me a few more details about that, Anna, would you? I love the name Manx Care, says 382. It must stay because it gives a real understanding of what it is. Hospice fundraising affecting Manx healthcare. It's very important to have such a wonderful place, but perhaps an empty rooms need to be used for other reasons under Manx care, especially for the slightly longer term patients. Keep the hospital flowing, says 382. And I agree with the last caller, says 768. The massive elephant in the room of the unfair system of paying care fees seems to have been swept under the carpet again, leaving many people afraid and confused about their rights. Claire Christian said she was going to address the issue and bring it to Tynwald during this administration, but it's looking less and less likely. Apparently, 93% of the respondents to the questionnaire want to change from the current system. It's about time somebody got a grip on this, says 768, because it's a shambles. When Nobles opened in 2003, we had 314 acute care beds, says Dick on 075. Now, according to the consultant at the Medical Staffing Committee, Manx Care's operating plan is 160, not 314, 160, almost half of what it was then. So no one can say there's no room at Nobles. There were twice the number of beds then. And David said, regarding the horse trams, the chance was missed when the Iris scheme was going on. The rail should have been moved to the walkway after the holding tanks had been installed. What's the point, says this WhatsApper, what's the point of the trams going to the steam packet? The trams lose money every year anyway. Well, yeah, point taken, they do lose money. But then again, so does the steam railway. So does Manx National Heritage. But they're part of our tourist offering. They may lose money operationally every year. Every ticket sold on the heritage railways may need a taxpayer's subsidy, but they bring people in. It's a sprat to catch a mackerel. So that brings people in and they spend elsewhere. That's what we provide, and that's the gamble of providing something. And obviously this is the argument from Manx National Heritage, which is dare I say it, underfunded. Lots of Manx care infrastructure is looking, how shall I say it, less than pristine. Francis said, what's Rob Callister on about? I thought the idea of Manx care was to be at arm's length and not to have any political input or influence. I think the setup is an expensive farce. Well, let's hear from them. Rob Callister and Laurie Hooper at Manx Care says a governance review will be concluded when it starts the recruitment process for the new chief exec. Obviously, Theresa Cope has gone. She'll leave in June, just hours after her resignation. We sent John Moss from the newsroom to talk to a couple of former health ministers who worked alongside her. So here's Onken MHK Rob Callister and Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper.
Personally, I think it's disappointing news for me because I think Theresa came into that role in 2020-21 when Manx Care was set up, and it was an incredibly difficult position, and I think there'd be a lot of criticism around that role, but I think she worked her socks off. I was sending her emails at 11 o'clock at night and she was answering. I was sending emails at 6:30 in the morning and she was answering. This particular individual worked incredibly hard for the island in a very difficult set of circumstances. Maybe the structure of how this chief executive role is unfolded in the future needs to be reviewed. So maybe look at something like Manx Utilities, the way that board is structured, where you have a political chair, a political vice chair, and allow the chief executive to deliver the day-to-day services. We need to make sure that we learn lessons from this role and not have one key member of an organisation left so exposed when there are hundreds of other people surrounding them, especially the Manx Care board that should be doing more to support a chief executive in the future.
Laurie Hooper, news about Theresa Cope resigning. What's your view on that?
A bit of a surprise, actually. I mean, Theresa was here from day one with Manx Care. She's done a lot to help get the organisation up and running. And to be fair, it's not been an easy job for anyone involved in the whole structure. It feels like she's done her time. You know, 5.5 years is quite a long time, I think, in that kind of high-profile, high-responsibility sort of post. But no, I think she's done a pretty decent job, actually, over the years, and I wish her every best with whatever she decides to do in future.
Is it a possible job for anybody? I mean, it's an enormous budget, enormous responsibility.
I think that is a very good question to ask. I don't think it's an easy job. I don't think anyone sitting around that board table has it easy. And I think being the chief exec of an organisation like Manx Care on the island, especially because everything here is a bit more personal, a bit more high profile, a bit more involved in the community. I mean, you wouldn't see an executive and NHS Trust doing the same sort of stuff that Theresa has to do. So it's a very difficult job, I think, and especially in the midst of a big governance review going on and the department looking at the whole structures, a new reform bill going through the branches. There's lots of questions that need to be answered, I think, before they go and recruit to find a replacement, because the world that replacement is coming into could be quite different to the one that Theresa is leaving.
Did you find it easy to work with?
If I'm honest, yeah, I think I did. That's not to say we didn't have some quite robust discussions over the years, but I think she's done a pretty good job trying to drag Manx Care, keeping screaming from its initial inception to where they've managed to get to today.
Well, that was Laurie Hooper, MHK. Before that, you heard Rob Callister, MHK, talking about Theresa Cope's resignation. We've invited Theresa Cope and Manx Care to be interviewed, and as yet we don't have a response. The current Health Minister, Claire Christian, declined our request to discuss Theresa Cope's resignation. I agree with Bonzo, says Malcolm. When Manx Care was introduced, things changed overnight. For the worse. Bring back the old system. Is it really feasible, says 805, to have an all-singing, all-dancing hospital system, including dental and social care, paid for by 80,000 mainly elderly residents? Well, it's less than that, isn't it, if you take away the under-16-year-olds? Once again, as a bank nurse at Nobles, can I reiterate, bank nurses and other bank staff professionals get paid the going hourly rate with an appropriate pay band with Manx Care. It's agency staff coming over here to work, for example, nurses, radiographers and physios, that get paid much higher hourly pay rates through their agency, approximately three times the local bank staff pay rate. The agency also gets its cut for supplying staff. The Manx public seem to have difficulty understanding the difference between local bank staff listed and registered with Manx Care and agency staff coming over from elsewhere for short periods of time, says Dee. Thank you, Dee.
They may try to offer you a tasty carrot. Perhaps they'll try to give you some stick. But whatever you do, don't become a money mule. It's just not worth the risk. Don't let anyone move money through your bank account, however tempted you may be. You could end up facing serious consequences, including a criminal record, bank account closure, as well as difficulty securing loans or credit in the future. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the IOM Constabulary, and Cyber Security Centre for the Isle of Man. For further information, visit csc.gov.im.
1986. At Manx Glass and Glazing, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. That's right. Manx Glass and Glazing have been delivering quality and stylish aluminium and UPVC windows and doors to the island since 1986. And we've spent four decades committed to developing our community, including investing in future generations through our apprenticeship scheme. Visit our showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate and see why we've been helping the island for 40 years. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
If you have children, pets, or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from $199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
Immerse yourself in a whodunit comedy caper with Inspector Drake as he tries to work out how the head chef ended up with no head. All this whilst enjoying a trip to Castletown and back with fabulous three-course meals. Don't miss Whodunit, Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th of May, departing at 7 p.m. To book, call 697-457 or visit rail.im.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Imagine you have just stepped into a cool swimming pool. It's a glorious hot afternoon.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
This place reminds you that life can be slower, and here, haste is not needed.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Tomorrow, Thursday, Nick Kay is on. Nick the Pharmacist will be on, as I say every time. No personal clinical advice, but we are talking in generalities about how you can live your life better and medications and this, that and the other. Lots to talk about, and I've got lots of questions that have been sent in for Nick. The Andrew Beach Buddies says there should be a change in the law as to how the Isle of Man disposes of large electrical goods. Bill Dale says there should be a disposal fee for fridges and washing machines to be included in their initial purchase price, which would, he said, the current system encourages fly tipping. Some individuals choose to dump appliances in the countryside or over cliffs rather than pay recycling charges. This comes as several local authorities have reported a rise in illegal dumping, including a large flat-screen telly just abandoned at the Len. Here's Bill Dale.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
When you dispose of an item like a fridge or a television, you have to pay for it, right? So that's inevitable. So when you buy something, why not pay that fee up front? Then that's absolutely 100% guaranteed that the money's being paid. And then there's no question of fly tipping at all because you've paid for it. So why would you go and fly tip it when you've already paid for it to be disposed and the money's gone? So it's pretty simple, really. Why on earth that's not adopted, I don't know.
Because the point is that people, as I said earlier, will do literally anything rather, or some people anyway, rather than pay a
fee.
Sadly,
yeah. And we found all sorts of items like televisions and fridges on beaches. I mean, one of the favourite spots appears to be the Marine Drive. And you only need to stop at the, is it called Pigeon Point? I think the car park. And look over the side of there. And at the bottom, there's all sorts of things like that. But if you've already paid for it up front, then why would you even dream of going and doing that? And the other thing is, there's no accountability. Nobody has ever, I can't remember anybody ever being prosecuted for fly tipping. We did have a case one time where the guy who had fly tipped some of his junk builder's stuff, it actually left his name and address on the piece of plastic which has covered some plasterboard. So I gave this to the local commissions and I thought that's it, got him absolutely stitched up. Three or four weeks later I phoned back and said, what's happened? They said, oh, we've had a quick word with the guy and told him not to do it again. I mean, it justifies logic, really.
What do you think about this? You get charged when you buy the fridge, television, microwave, whatever it is, there's a barcode put on it, and then when you're finished with it, the barcode, you take it back to the recycling centre, and the barcode confirms it's been paid, and that's a, that happens in Europe. If you buy white goods in Europe, the disposal cost is in the purchase price, and there's a code on the back or on the machine, whatever it is, and when it comes to the end of its useful life, you take it to the recycling centre, they put a little gun to read it, read the code, that's it, and it just take it. So why wouldn't that happen here? Otherwise we're letting, and again, it is always the minority, the antisocial minority, who think it doesn't apply to them. They're the ones who lob stuff off of Marine Drive. So this, and the seagulls don't watch flat-screen televisions, especially ones that don't work. So wouldn't that be something that will be relatively easy to introduce? Part of our green agenda for the future, then everybody would do it. Why would they do it? Well, quite simple. Because they paid for it already. Regarding the completion of the horse tram track, how on earth can half a mile of track carrying a tram and one horse cost £2 million? The mind boggles. Where do they get these amounts from? Do they think we're all idiots? And how can it take 40 weeks to do it? And 044 says, obviously somebody in Timble doesn't want the horse trams, so they're making excuses not to do it. The horse tram should have been sorted properly the first time. A waste of time and money, says George. The Isle of Man government needs to realise we don't have the infrastructure in place for all the people coming over. We need to cap immigration, get the infrastructure in place for the people that are already here, says 854. That's it. Nick K tomorrow. Thanks to Chris on the phone.
WINT.